Little X. Begins on January 10th, 1980, and goes on to May of the same year. Starting by a transcription essay on 30.5, anti-gene test, you might say. That's what I thought about it, being an anti-gene might be used to block transcription of a normal gene. I'd rather pie in the sky, but nonetheless, one has to dream. So, just the technical elements going on here. S1 nuclease treatment. Something, can't see what it was that was being S1 treated. High voltage denaturing gel, Friday, January 11th. Very promising, conclusion, very promising, etc. Back on film to see what one obtained with a urea acrylamide gel. 4,000 volts was used across that dome. 40 milliamps. Thinking about measuring the ratio of an alpha globin precursor to an alpha anti-alpha globin product. It's a dream of control on page 9, January 11th. Continuing this idea of anti-gene tests on the following page. And following pages, several pages following the same idea, anti-gene test number 3, January 15th. And going on. Antigen test number 4, page 21. Conclusion on Friday, January 18th, page 23. Excellent experimental design, but very little protection. And that is not non-differential. Remake the probes. And RNA, and try again using this internally controlled design. So, thought the experiment was good, but didn't get what I'd hoped. And repeating end labels the following day. Here's Garfin intestinal phosphatase again on Sunday, January 20th. End labeling. Again, continuing the same general pattern with enormous, the hot material and labeled. Looks as if there was a 1.1 times 10 to the 6 count in that preparation, and 3 times 10 to the 5th in the pissed digest. Although, the comment is that the piss is very poor, but the HINF is adequate on page 31. Cutting out fragments from gels. Page 33. Thoughts and comments, page 35, etc. The usual progression. Now thinking about fetal mouse liver RNA, with Al Kinneberg on page 37. Yield about 1.1 milligrams on page 39. The mouse fetal liver RNA, MFL RNA, book X39. More antigen tests continue. Test number 5. Results as expected. H232 is protected and successful. Comments on experiments in the air with aerobatics with a 150 aerobat, Cessna 150 aerobat available, and I would try aerobatics and successful snap rolls too, meaning that I'd been flying that day. Snap rolls are one of the more enjoyable aerobatic maneuvers where you cause the one wing of the aircraft to stall so that it behaves as if you cut one wing off and you can roll very, very rapidly, hence the word snap roll. They were exciting to do and enjoyable with an airplane that was certificated to do them in, and these were by myself, I know. I didn't have anybody with me, but I had a book on how to do it. And continuing the experiments the next few days, in particular with continuing again with antigen test number 6 on Monday, January 28th. Even antigen test number 6 is there on page 37. And number 7, antigen test number 7, etc. Continuing to do that idea. Number 8 on February 3rd. Typical comment of one not going right. On page 69, abandon! Exclamation mark. Still very doubtful product on that page. Continue with antigen tests. We're now at page 84, February 6th, antigen test number 10. As usual, Smithies seems to repeat experiments over and over again. Cutting out bands to try to get radioactive probes on 7.5% acrylamide gel, etc. on page 89, February 8th. Seven different radioactive things are cut out to be tested. And these are the new paper probes. making new probes and new prep gels. Sunday, February 11th, page 97. Still probes. Again, February 12th, page 105, new probes. Conclusion, the digests are complete. Continue with carfentanil phosphatase and be cleaning up with hydroxyquinoline phenol. More prep gels again. Second cut for new probes on February 14th, page 113. And a protocol from table 14th, I'm not clear where this is from, on four base-specific reactions for sequencing end-labeled DNA. This is talking about the Maxim Gilbert method of sequencing end-labeled DNA, the one that we made later on. Used very successfully. She did many sequences with this method. But it was the method that we were using at that time. It worked. Antigen test gel number 12. Page 117, Saturday. February 16th, as usual, Saturday and Sunday, makes no difference. Saturday, Sunday, February 17th, working too. Or as I would say, doing what I wanted to do. Getting to antigen test number 13, 125, page 125, and following. And on page 129, papers written. So these must have been the papers that were published with Elio and some review articles of the same time. With a look at the alpha sequences. And it looks as if this is a map of where the pseudo gene is on page 129, Friday, March 7th. Mouse RNA, DNA being made, a new clone here, 153.6 being talked about. A mouse R1 from a shotgun BALB-C experiment in Sharon 4A, made with Bonnie Grieve and screened with alpha, with an alpha G probe, cDNA probe, and three clones were obtained, 153.6. 152.18 and 152.20 with 11 kilobases and 6.4 kilobases in hybridizing band. Barry Whitney must have been with us at that time too, because it says that he was particularly a mouse person, And he says that the two alpha are in two R1 bands close together, 9.7 known and query 11. Therefore, this 11, which was clone 153.6, is likely to be the second gene. At 153.6, digested in a bunch of ways, and 4A also digested, but non-hybridized to the probe PCR1 alpha max plasmid. So it must have been somewhat of a surprise and disappointment. And yet on the next page, 139 is confidential Whitney, Barry Whitney, a tentative map of leaders mouse genomic alpha globin 2 gene. with a comment from Barry Elio, please do not reveal any of this to anyone but OS himself. So that Barry was somewhat concerned about whether he could talk about it, that he had a map there. I've got joined towards the end. A book, a little X, a hypothesis or two exclamation marks on Friday, March 28th. The idea is that mRNA degradation controls local expression. Little did I know how true that really turned out to be. By the time we were well into the 2000s, using mRNA degradation to control gene expression with Masao Kakoki, so that this was a correct idea, probably at that time because of talking to Jeff Ross, who was very interested in RNA degradation. But the idea is that mRNA degradation controls local expression. For example, an increase of a delta chain in thalassemia could be due to faster erythropoiesis, so that a less stable delta mRNA is a greater proportion of the total. With some ideas about thalassemia. And comment two, or hypothesis two, as pseudogenes act by diverting transcription away from the real thing. With a little map of the pseudo beta gene, which produces nothing useful, and the productive delta and beta genes on that. So fairly good understanding in general of what was happening. Now, I must have been teaching at that period, because there's a comment on classes finished Tuesday, May 20th, and here I am, Monday, May 19th. Origins of replication control RNA transcription. This was a hypothesis that led me to do many experiments, that this might be a method of controlling DNA gene expression back in 1980. And that sort of experiment was, as we shall see, going on very seriously at the time that gene cloning became, or gene targeting became the center of my work. So there was a I did publish a paper on this, which I may have talked about in the past, but I'll just look it up again and comment on it. This was a hypothesis that I eventually published in 1982, although I'm beginning to think about it here in 1980. The eventual paper was The Control of Globin and Other Eukaryotic Genes. And the hypothesis is advanced that eukaryotes control different parts of their genomes by the selective use of origins of replication. Replication of a gene from an origin upstream of the gene is postulated to open it for transcription under appropriate circumstances, while replication of a gene from an origin downstream of the gene closes it. And the applicability of this hypothesis to the control of the human beta-globin cluster of genes is considered. So that's the beginning of what I spent quite a lot of experimental time trying to test. As usual, I would have a hypothesis and then spend a lot of time testing and usually finding the hypothesis was wrong. But anyway, here's the beginning of it, that Monday, May 19th, page 153 in 1980, that this is the test of the origin of replication idea, with some ideas on how to test. So that if you transcribe in the same direction, if you replicate in the direction of the transcription, then everything's okay. If it's the other direction, and then the gene is turned off. And some other thoughts that possibly the origins of determine also the modifications, modification patterns, variegation, which we might call epigenetic changes now, so that selection between classes of origin of great importance in determination, or which I think I meant differentiation. But anyway, that was the beginning of that idea. Looking for allele repeats in the immunoglobulin clones, on page 145, with the idea perhaps that these control how the genes were duplicated. And a comment to that Nan Newell, who was joined me as a postdoc, has some colony or other. Various digests are being considered on page 149 of these different clones, 165.24, 30.5, 142.7, etc., etc. The results show no cross-reactivity between the mouse pseudo-alpha and the mouse immunoglobulin gene cloned, or human G-gamma. So that they were hybridized to 30.5, the pseudogene, which had been end-labeled, and then hybridized back to these clones, and the only one which gave a result was 30.5 itself. None of the other clones reacted at all. It was a very clean experiment, a complete absence of hybridization, no cross-reactivity, and good hybridization to the correct sequence. So, subcloning of the 3' region have the ALO repeat for sequencing on page 151, and this book continues and ends on page 153. Another test of digestion of these different PBR322 clones with BAM, and also a test of the 7.2 fragment, etc. And that ends book, this Lex.